finish about the five others, or do we not?
No.
Oh, you have it in the chapter, right?
Finish karkas.
Finish karkas, that was the yachas. Right. What does yachas mean? Yachas means you break the matzah in hand. Part of it is for the afikom. It's the end of the suit, and part of it is for the, we call motzi matzah. You then pick up the kara, which has the matzah. You say, hola, ha'ayah. So, ma'ashtana, but you cover the matzahs. Say the Haggadah in the language the children understand. The first art scroll is not here, the Ramah. The Rimu. Right. What does Yachas mean? Yachas means you break the matzah in hand. Part of it is for the afikom. It's the end of the suit, and part of it is for the, we call motzi matzah. You then pick up the kara, which has the matzah. You say, hola, ha'ayah. You should say the Haggadah in the language the children understand. The first art scroll is not here, the Ramah. The Rimu Lundari, Lundari I think is London, made an English Haggadah. So the women and the children should understand it. Then right away you pour the second cup and the child asks why. So he says, Manashtana. Man has no children, so his wife asks him, Manishtana. And he responds, Abadamayinu. He saw that Abadamayinu, you return the matzahs to the table. Because the matzah is called Lechem Oni. Lechem Sha'on, Olav Zvaram Harpa. You say a lot of words over the matzah. And the Haggadah is very long. Very long. There are certain parts of the Haggadah that are not as important as others. Look at the Rambam, they leave certain things out. But there, most of it is really very, very important. Avodah Mayim is important. The Tchila of the Avodah Zarah is important. And then Yisham, then on, the whole thing is important. By Fail Lamad, the main part of that God, except what's not so important is the Dayenu and the subsequent, you know, 10 Makas, 50 Makas, 200 Makas, 250 Makas, that's not so good. Yeah.
What do you mean
it's not so good? Skip something, you should skip that. I'm telling you, it's good. Let's say you're a balabas and go to the kitchen, take care of something. So what do you miss? You miss that. The Mishnah Berurah writes that the ladies have to come back into the Haggadah when it said Rabbi Gamliel Omer. Rabbi Gamliel is the very end, the Pesach Matzavara. The whole discussion, what do you mean? But the first part of that Haggadah, why are they obligated so much to hear the first part of that Haggadah for the Mishnah Berurah? Same thing we discussed last week. That part of the Haggadah might be considered what we call a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama, limit or exempt. Forgive me again, I can't hardly talk. The only part which they're obligated is the part of what we call pesumen isa. The pesumen isa part may be only the last part of the Haggadah, from the deal to the end, which is more connected to the matzah, to the pesah. Therefore, the women are obligated, not to impress that, they're obligated in that too. Other parts, perhaps, they're not obligated. Perhaps. But ideal, they should be there for the whole Haggadah. We're right, at least for the very end, starting from the Gamliel, they should certainly be there. Okay, when you get to the end, you get the matzah zu, you pick up the matzah, tomorrow is end, pick up the maram. Pesach, you don't pick up the pesach, because you shouldn't think it's considered carb. There's customs of splits of wine, the pesach, adash, v'achar, the ten makis, dam, v'esh, v'sigma, so I should pick the customs. Generally, the custom is that whenever you pick up the cup, you cover the matzahs. You put down the cup, you reveal the matzahs. Pick up the cup, the shamdad, or the pichach. So the beginning of the cover the matzahs then. Same as the cover for kiddush. Okay. End of the Magid is the coast. You drink the coast. I'm going to get the rock on the coast. And you try to save again. Men. Then you have rock to wash your hands. Regular wash with the bracha. You make moti matzah. Moti is on the definition of the first and third matzah. You hold. And then you drop the bottom matzah. Because that's going to be saved for the Korah. And you make al-Hilas Matzah on the, primarily on the broken one. You hold the top and the broken one. Then you have a Kazayis from a combination of the top and the middle. Some such have a Kazayis from each. That's the big question, how much is a Kazayis? Whoa, major dispute. How much is a Kazayis? So, my opinion, kazayis is simply an ounce of flour. So, an ounce of flour. What is an ounce of flour approximately in terms of a matzah? When we made a calculation, we ground it up, we measured it. An ounce of flour came to approximately, I believe, and I don't have it straight up, I don't have it written down for me right now, about a quarter of a of the average hand shmura matzah. A little bit more fast of the machine matzah. But, since we're so matmir, the Mishnah Berurah writes the first night of Pesach, especially for the mitzvah and Torah, the Kazayis matzah, and some say that all of our shirim are off by a ratio of 2-1. And some say Shmuel have 2 Kazayisim anyway. So it's better to double it. To have if you can, if your stomach can handle it. To have a half a hand matzah. Maybe a little bit more if it's machine matzah. Better if you can, if your stomach can handle it. If you look at the books, they have tremendous, unbelievable shear. A whole matzah they write down is a full matzah is a kazayis. It's a little bit much if you ask me. We have to eat so much. See, it writes, the more you eat, the better the merrier. In other words, the kazayis, the right is the minimum. One eat more, the bigger mitzvah. That's if you don't throw up. It's going to hurt your stomach, and you're not going to enjoy yourself. So it shouldn't eat so much. Okay. After the matzah comes the moro. Need another whopper. My personal opinion is that more you have to use lettuce. Customarily use romaine lettuce to check carefully for bugs. Some use even iceberg lettuce. Less bugs there for barn puppies to use. But I am not a fan of what they call today grain, horseradish. It's a big shiloh in Poskim whether horseradish really is moro or not. All the gemara seem to indicate that moro is a leafy lettuce type vegetable. Hakam Kuein became so popular, so some suggest, because the Jews lived in Northern Europe, they couldn't get lettuce, so they found other things. But if you really think about it, lettuce, if you leave it in the ground, becomes bitter. Horseradish is sharp, it's not bitter. It doesn't fit the description. So, while I don't right for me to question the custom that many people have to use horseradish for the weather. I think it's much better to use lettuce. Make sure it's not bugs.
Just lettuce?
For the moral problem, I use just plain lettuce, different than horses. But then a cazayas for the lettuce. It's much easier to get a cazayas from the stalk than from the leaf, and the stalk is anyway better from the perspective of the bugs. So I use only stalks. You have to buy many more heads of lettuce if you want to use only stalks. So we use leaf, so we just watch carefully the bugs. Wash it off to make sure it's clean. And you have a cazayas. Once again, an ounce, fluid ounce, you need more lenient. Because more is the rabbana, could be even a bit more lenient. That's the fluid ounce one. Then it's korek. Korek is a sandwich. Also, you dip in the pharosis, something you don't dip in the pharosis, not locus. What is it? A kazayas of matzah and a kazayas of mor. You use the batter matzah for this. And here this is what I do as follows. And I make my sandwiches from all my food on the table. Here each kazayas of matzah and a kazayas of lettuce. I don't go for this parade story, the horseradish. But on the other hand, the custom in my family for generations, everyone uses horseradish. So what I do is, on this sandwich matzah, at the end, after you finish all the desires of matzah, the desires of horseradish, of lettuce, excuse me, at the end, I throw a bunch of horseradish at the end. So that at the end, after you finish really, you really got to the mitzvah already of matzah and of mora and of korek, the works, then you have the horseradish. I think I was saying to be a dame. Remember when my father, when I was a child, would eat the horseradish, he would turn as red as a beet. And he would start to cry. And all the children remember that. So why shouldn't my children see me do the same thing? So I have horseradish because I don't think it's a great way to perform the mitzvah. My father used to use lettuce for the maror and horseradish only for the korek in the sandwich. That was made in Europe in many places. Have you ever seen that minute? Yes? And who raise your hand if that's just even a use on your ass? Right? Lettuce for the maror and horseradish for the korek. No? No one saw that? It's only three people, I'd say. Whatever they're doing. So, well, I added with one little twist. I have lettuce also with the korek. And I have that first. And then when it's finished, I have some horseradish at the end. Zeich l'mik l'shkehillah, the fourth of Mishnah Berurah. You shouldn't say the word Zeich l'mik l'shkehillah until after you finish eating the korek. The Shiloh of Hefsek. Meaning all of us not that way. Shabbat you can say Zechel is before you eat the Torah. So everyone follows his or her own custom. Some say Zechel is at the end, and some say at the beginning, before you say it, before you eat the Torah. Either before you eat the Torah, or after you eat the Torah, you say Zechel is before you. You're supposed to say it though. It's important to be said. Yes?
What if
you
can't get a
kazayas
of
matzah
from the bottom
matzah
for anything?
You add more. You always add more.
You
have,
it doesn't have to be specifically for that
matzah. No, you never get enough. You have so many people coming. You have so many people. You have tons. We have a whole box. 2 pounds of matzahs. The broken ones. To supplement that with the big three. Never enough. And people are having, it's impossible. Never going to be enough. Yeah?
Who says that you should wait to say
different matzahs? Mishnah Berurah. Shabbat, Shabbat, Shabbat. Either way, you can't go wrong. Kazayas is a very important thing. Whenever you require kazayas, it has to be within a kazay achilas kras, a certain amount of time. How much time is it? Some say as little as 2 minutes, some say 4 minutes, some say 9 minutes. We don't know exactly what that time is. So you should try very hard to get, especially for matzah, which is a minute and a minute, to get the matzah down within 2 minutes. At least, the quarter of the hand matzah should go down within 2 minutes. And more is even better. So the Moshe's not better. The Moshe's not for 2 minutes. Others say it's not for 4 minutes. So if you get a quarter of the matzah down in 2 minutes and a half of the matzah down in 4 minutes, that would be acceptable, in my opinion. Yes, I'm sorry.
Is there any basis for not talking until you're done eating a kazayas matzah, or is it just...
For sure you should talk until you eat a kazayas matzah. I mean, I'm not saying it's, once you start it, you can be making it, but you should really... Mishnah Berurah, you shouldn't talk until after korek. I told you before. But certainly should not talk until after finishing the matzah. Let's talk the talk, because it's chewing. Really. Gotta get it down. Clock is running. Yes?
So, that time starts from chewing or from swallowing?
That's a good question. Sometimes it starts from the first swallow. So you're gonna drop, 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 boom, boom, step through, press the watch. Yeah?
And it's so difficult to get in the minute, then how could I do like a regular therapy of time?
That's a good question. The answer is probably because eyes are small. Because eyes are small, they can do it in 2 minutes. We are machmir both ends. We're machmir the big kazayas and the short kazayas press, so a contradiction.
Yes, we can.
Some say I have the whole thing in one lechat tefillah in one swallow. Before the Mughal Abra. Don't even try it. Don't even attempt it. Probably for you, Shaloka, Derek Achilas, an abnormal way of eating, so you wouldn't be yotzik of your own. But the Mughal Abra says that the whole kazayas in one swallow. And that's how it's done. I guess it's really small kazayas. An olive goes out of one kazayas, right? The obligation to eat is only the first night for yourself, the first 2 nights for us. The rest of the time you eat potatoes. Yes?
In Mahmoud,
that two conditions only about the multi-matzah? Some say the part of the comfort too. Depends on your stomach feel by that time. If you can manage two conditions about the comfort, it's more power to you.
Not for like
correct.
Forever.
Yeah.
For at the moment,
isn't
that
happened from
the
matzah?
That happened from the
matzah? Different
happened once it is not enough.
See, I told you, the
whole
box,
half
and
half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that your child feels that the cup is really a threat? Maloney. Because I use different matzahs. You can't, I want $1 million Hanukkah apple cup again. Get it. I use different matzahs. The custom not to eat roasted meat on Pesach night, which will confuse it, say the carbon. The carbon, so we eat only cooked meat. In the minute it says chicken, you have that boiled chicken. Oh, whoa. They don't like the boiled chicken. We like barbecue. No luck. Not okay. Once a year you have to boiled chicken. Yeah, the whole pilpul is what's called sikadar. It's in between cooked, it's in between baked, it's in between roasted. I'm not an expert in the kitchen. You put it in water, you make it like soup chicken, and that's it. It goes down very nicely at midnight. It goes down, you know, the soup chicken is softer. It goes down, it's very good. Once, twice a year, I'm telling you, you can learn to enjoy it too. Very good. Cut to eating eggs. High cholesterol, I don't do that. Egg whites, I guess. Don't eat too much, that's the rule. Don't eat too much. Leave space for the meals, you have to come in. Eat too much, easy, you won't know what to eat later. When you get drunk and fall asleep. But be careful, I need to drink too much.
What's the basis for the eggs?
Like some say it's a Zeymo Kurban. The tissue was the same night as Pesach. Some say it's a Zeymo Kurban Chagiga. It goes all for the same night. Different customs, different reasons. Okay. Afikoma should be eaten before Chatzos. Now Chatzos varies tremendously from year to year. Some year, depending on daylight savings time or standard time. It's printed many of the Pesach qualifications, you can figure out yourself. Just take New York Times, figure out when the sun rises and sunsets and the midway point. That's called Chatzos. You should have the Afikoman before Chatzos. This is all possible. If there are more rites, you should even have Halal before Chatzos. And the Vilna Gaon there, you should make after the fourth cup also, which is connected to Halal. In our house, we've got many, many memorable marches to the sea. We rush through the hollow just to get under the wire before Chatzos. It takes time to say hollow. They go there, they got this, they got to say the words, and this and that. We've had, the last 2 years, we had to skip Shvach HaMoscha. That's how pressed the time we were. We did it later. Not really. Don't you know what Shvach HaMoscha is? Mm-hmm. They pour the kosher Eliyahu, and you open the door, and you sing Eliyahu Anavi, and you got some nice, beautiful, tremendous. It takes 5 minutes. Good the fourth card. We had to score it to the end. I'm not kidding, because we wanted to have the fourth cup before Chatzos. We had it 2 years in a row in our house. Right? You know? Yeah.
If somebody doesn't make
that,
to come back,
that's
supposed
to be after? Yeah. That's a dispute in the Gemara. So, see, they're always like that. I never make it close. The trick, by the way, is not then. The trick is the beginning. The trick is to start on time. And to run up, you know, people think, oh, I say, every time I Torah, my child go to yeshiva. It's ridiculous. Child can speak tomorrow, this 8th day is the Pesach. What's the rush? What's the rush? On the contrary, if we go through the Maggid fast, keep the children awake. The key is the second night. Second night is a killer, because you can't start on time, because you have to finish washing the dishes, and you can't start until after it gets dark. You get at least a half an hour delay. At least half an hour later. So, no problem, they'll let them return on the second night. They already said the first night, the good ones, you know. You have the first day to say things. You have to plan in advance. You should figure out how long the meal takes you, and just figure it out backwards. In our house, we never seem to finish more than 5 minutes before ourselves. The challah. And then you can take your time. You can sing the mirtzo, the songs you want. You don't have to be Torah, fine. You don't have to be shir, whatever you want. But it's better to finish before ourselves for many reasons. Actually, the king of ourselves. These are kids should fall asleep with kids. We can't, we're all kids. We fall asleep because we're tired. If you get a nap on Erev Pesach, it's considered ideal. And you're all laughing because a nap on Erev Pesach is like, you know. theory, good idea. I tell you across the car, a nap on Erev Pesach. They laugh at me. I don't know, they should try it out. Give me the ideal thing. Once you have the afikoman, that's it. You can't eat anymore. Even drinking is a question, because if you drink the glass of wine, beyond that, you really shouldn't drink much water if you need it. Try to find the demon that I got at the Seder, because it's 3 men, and you come to the Hallel, so the Balabas says Hodu and Ono the same way as it's done in Shul. Hodu and everybody answers, you know, it's done in Shul. That's the way it's done in the Seder too. And the Balabas is the one that mentions the Zuman at the Seder. He doesn't give it away, he does it himself. It's the custom.
Who says that? Is that the benching yourself?
Bravo. The whole big dispute, how do you end the fourth, before the fourth coast? What do you do? So complicated. You finish the halal, then you throw a nishmas. So it's called, it's a whole pitbull. Where, how do you end? And with halal, they have a nishmas, which has to be shtava. So different haggadahs have different things. Just make sure, don't make two bravos. One or the other. The preferred custom, I think, is to say Hallel until the end. Kime Olam HaOlam HaTokel. Don't say Baruch Ata Hashem Melech Olam HaMishpach. Leave that out. Then start Nishmas. Whoa, before that, then starts Hodu. The Hodu, the 26 Hodus, Kilo Olam HaTokel. Right? Then starts Nishmas, all the way to Yishtabach. You end, Melech. Kale, Chay, all under, and then you drink the cup. That's found in many Haggadahs as a preferred liver. it's a custom to stay up the whole, as long as you can, and learning the halachas of Pesach and see us what's right. Most of us fall asleep right away anyway, so hard to stay up. Now we talk about Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer begins the second night of Pesach. Shulchan Aruch begins by saying it's supposed to count after it gets dark. Count the entire night. Everyone should count themselves. Supposed to stand up and count. Not the days of the week, so you know how that's pretty considered. Now. The person did not count the entire night. Count by day with no bro. Disputes. Some say you can count by day, some say you can't count by day. So you count without a bro. You forgot one night, completely. But the remaining days and nights, the remaining nights, again a dispute. So you count the remaining nights without a bro. If you count it, counted by day, you're permitted to count the subsequent nights with a brook. Big fight over here about living. We're the private sphere of the sphere. If we're possible, women are part of the sphere, so this is how I say. Shazman grow. Well, this is great. Mr. Brewer writes that his time, place, and custom did not count zero. And he says it's close to somebody who said, Shulchan Shlomo was quoted as saying they shouldn't make a bracha for two reasons.
They
should not. We're not finished yet, relax. For two reasons. One, the Vada Yitzu B'yom Echad, they sort of forget one day. And two, they don't understand you. Okay, so the second one does not apply to the women today, for sure. What about the first one? There was a man that started a virus. So he got a virus, remember to see a woman started from virus. She's going to forget one day. But according to this simple reading of the Mishnah Brura, he's saying that in case I'm going to forget a day down the pike, what we call the bracha of Atala, all the days that did count. Because this is conventional wisdom, and why is it that according to many, if you forget one night, you cannot count it, you get one night of the day completely, you cannot continue to count the bracha. Because all 49 nights are one big mitzvah. So if you, it'll be an amazing thing according to this, if you know that you're gonna miss a day, then you cannot start counting the bracha. Let's say a person knows a Pesach, go for operation in 2 weeks and then be under the anesthesia for 24 hours straight. That's it. According to this Mishnah, we wouldn't count the bracha from day one. Because you all 4 lines one, you miss one, it's all over. In my opinion, this is not correct. Not my opinion, the bracha opinion. But this is the conventional wisdom. There's a famous story about Reb Royer as a part of the bracha. Reb Royer is this well-known prayer to Hashem that as long as he lives, he should be clear in his mind. He should never lose his clarity. And the story goes, the last night of his life was a Friday night in the hospital. He had 3 grandchildren with doctors around him. And he died in Myron Friday night, Rishmash, on Esrei, in his bed. And then he started to say Aleinu. So he said, he stopped. He said, Opa, the grandfather, forgot Sfira. Forgot Sfira? Well, maybe the grandfather was losing it. So he said, he backed in German, Ich bin nicht rein, which means I'm not clean. Makes sense. Clean up, say Shema, Shema Esra, then all of a sudden they're late, and we're not clean, what's his business? So he passed away the next day. So the people came and told the story to the Rabbanan, they couldn't believe it. They figured out Goya must have been at that time, that he wasn't going to live through the day or live through the whole sphere. He must have been of the opinion that they're not going to go until Shavuos to Bracha Levatala. So he didn't count sphere out. But unbelievable. There's another story about that. I told you last year in my class last year about the Chal and the pajamas. No one's in the class last year about that one, so?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now the same was out the next day. The boy was losing his marbles. Who asked me to have this story? I'm over again, no time. He was a genius. He was given the bracha by Hashem to the last hour. He knew exactly what he was doing. Anyway, but we don't accept this here. I mean, he was following the Mishnah Berurah. But we assume not that way. We assume that if the reason if a person forgets one day's sphere why he can't continue counting, not because all 49 days is one mitzvah, rather because he can't count like this, 1, 2, 4. Does that make sense? If he misses a day, so he just can't count that way. That's the reason. Not the pshat that if I miss day 3, the 1 and 2 will have atola register. That's a show. Say 3, I can't say 4, it's an impossibility, but I missed it. That's what's going on over here. And therefore, if I normally have an operation 2 weeks from now, I still count with the brother. So why is the Mishnah Berurah say that women shouldn't count? Because you'll buy that interview on Eva, they're going to make a mistake. So the Mishnah Berurah left out a phrase in the Shulchan Shlomo. Shulchan Shlomo adds a phrase, which unfortunately is omitted here. The phrase is, Yitzi Yom Echad, V'yitzru, V'yachzru, V'yitzru, V'brocha. We're going to forget a day, and then count the next day with a brocha. That's what the Shulchan Shlomo is afraid about. Not that they can forget a day and that's it. They're going to forget a day and keep counting with a brocha. Which may be brocha levatala, that's what he's worried about. But if you just forget a day, it doesn't mean that all the days you counted until now are for naught. That's the Shulchan. That's not the way the Rav interpreted it. The Rav thought strongly. In others, the same way. Zeb has this piece, and others, it's just you can't count four without counting three first. That's why they explain the person counted, they forgot to count day 3 at night. He counts it by day, so you count the next night, day 9-4 with a Rav. Why? But he left out the mitzvah on day 3. This is maybe only at night. The answer, even if the mitzvah is only at night, you count by day, you can, before we can maintain the continuity, we can keep the count going. There's a possibility if someone has a child loses a relative in Tzivu, and then we call it Onei. Onein is not allowed to do mitzvahs. So what do you do about Tzira? If you're only that whole day, it will ruin them for the next 40 days. So the Pesach is saying, let him count without a bracha. The question becomes, how did that help? You're not allowed to do mitzvahs, so not allowed to count without a bracha, not a mitzvah. They get the same answer. A mitzvah is not. It's enough to maintain the continuity. Then you apply if you look carefully to the Shulchan Aruch, so you can count early. You can count before dark. A mitzvah is not. That's enough to maintain the continuity. The same principle applies over and over and over again. All right. The last tip over here in the case that was about Kaddish. You shouldn't eat Kaddish until the new grain, until the 18th night of Nisan in America. But I'm not going to go into it now. I don't have time. And I refer you, if you're interested in this difficult topic, come to my first class the next term. That's when we talk about Kodesh at length. That's where it comes up in the other day. In this time, it's a Machlokes, this is a Kli Chutz La'aretz. Became popular again, Kodesh. We forgot the mitzvah, we don't have a kept in the Chutz La'aretz. Now, in the Yeshiva world, became more, but the Seder world still never. You know, you learn about the Kodesh, keep the Kodesh. You're against it in principle. But the Yeshiva should started taking it on more and more these days. You go to bakery, a Kaddish bake, Kaddish, Yoshim, Yoshim, Kaddish. I've never heard of the word. What's this? but it's a prohibition, which some say does not apply in America. Some say it applies to Goyim field in America. And some say that most of our grain is not Kaddish anyway, because it comes from the big silos with this old grain. Whatever it is, it's a long story. I can't go into it right now. Yes?
Some of the grain are first of the sphere, so when they say it, by the
Can I get it with the Rafa Sphere? Yes. Yeah. And how many years can you do the Rafa Sphere? 48. Yeah. So crazy we can do that. Now, what about the Menachem of Sphere? The part of the Sphere's owner. So you don't get married in Sphere. Three different customs. Because of Rabbi Akiva's students died. Three customs. Some say you don't get married in Pesach to Lag BaOmer. Some say you don't get married from the first day of Rosh Chodesh Iyar until Shlosh Sivan Kola. And some say you don't get married from the second day of Iyar until Erev Shavuos. The last time I were only apart by, different by 2 days.
And
what's the segment? The prohibition begins on the second day of Iyar after Rosh Chodesh is over and goes to Erev Shavuos. Only 2 and 3 are just only 2 days apart. There also disputes, can you get married on Lag BaOmer proper? Sfarim say no, Ashkenazim say yes.
Who's gay married?
On Lag BaOmer itself. And once you say that, another dispute. You get married the night before Lag BaOmer. So it's the night after it gets dark. Excuse me.
It's
still Lag
BaOmer.
Lag BaOmer, but it's the night.
Right. But when
else?
Who says
next day?
Next
day. Next morning. Evening before the sun sets.
It's 6 o'clock.
The Buddha says you may not get married the night before the night of Lag BaOmer, the night, you know, the night which precedes Lag BaOmer. So is that allowed? So that's the Mishnah Berurah. Interesting, when it comes to shaving, the Shavuot submitted out to shave, you got the same business, either the first 33 days or the last 33 days. He says you can shave the night before Lag BaOmer. My humble opinion is exactly the reverse. I put you're not allowed to shave, you're not going to marry. Explain to you my reasoning. When it comes to shaving a Lag BaOmer, the reason you're allowed to shave on Lag BaOmer proper against the Mechaber is the famous principle called Mikta Sayon Kekulo. Once the day begins, you can already part of the day, like the whole day, and therefore, as long as you maintain Avelos for part of the day, it's good enough. This one only starts by day. So if you shouldn't shave, in my opinion, until the next morning. Getting married was a different thing, story completely. Why don't we get married in Sphere? Everyone's because of Savelis, I don't agree. They're almost allowed to get married. How can you say you shouldn't get married in Sphere because of Avelis, but if you're real Avelis, you're not going to marry? Right, cool, we don't get married in Sphere because it's a bad luck sign. Because Sphere is the time of the Kivas tell me to die. It's bad luck, it's bad, it's a time when the Jews could get together. How do you expect to get together with your wife when the Talmidim and Rabbi Akiva couldn't get together with each other and they all 24,000 died? One more about this, I can refer you to something which I wrote in a publication called Bain Kosvei HaYeshiva. Probably on Paul somewhere in the library. It came up once, two times, I mean, uptown. Bain Kosvei HaYeshiva. The red, it was a red one. A little paperback. You guys have a whole explanation why I came with it at night. So if you have to get married to see on Lag BaOmer at night, you can bracha. I'll give you a foot that to get married at night on Lag BaOmer. What about music? Thank you. So Rabbi Felder, in his book on Sira, said it's not allowed. I don't see any sorcerers in the earlier, any earlier sorcerers. Felder's book, they had it before a few times, right? It's called Barde Yeshua. In the old books, written more than 100 years ago, I don't know other than dance. In dancing, of course, among other an old source. Usually, of course, much more recent sources, such as Moshe Feinstein, the one of Rabba. I don't remember Rabba Shulman, I don't know. Some say even if you can't play music, but tape music, some say it's okay. What if you are observing the first Negosir? Someone else is observing the second Negosir. And you get invited to the other one. So you're invited to a wedding, but for you it's still Sira. Buddha, you gotta go. You're allowed to buy new clothes in Sira, you can make a Shefa Yonah with Sira, people make all these crazy things. Look, it's not true, you're allowed to do all these things in Sira. We'll mix up the series of 3 weeks in that regard. We'll get that soon. Yes, Amrita?
Can you dance as a
husband?
When
you're at a wedding? Yeah. You dance and sing, whatever you want. More than that, in my opinion, if you have someone married like Bomer, and the now have Sheva Brooks, the Sheva Brooks go into Sira. Or you got married at the end of Chodesh Nisan, go into Sira. In my opinion, you can have an unrestricted cheddar books. Unrestricted cheddar books.
Really?
Yeah, what's your question, sorry?
Is there any distinction made in terms of music? Like, in what forms it wouldn't be allowed besides tapes? Like, loud music or private music?
Loud music is also all the time.
Okay.
Crazy music. But, it reminds me of Rabban Soloveitchik's famous story about the movies. Is that a story? Because you go to the movies during Sphere. So Rabban said, this goes back 30 years, he told me, any movie you can see all year long, you can see in Sphere. So yes. So it's not about the prohibitions. Dancing. Now, dancing, you know what's going on with it. Doesn't it say it's not about that wrong? Dancing. Dancing is a very great manifestation of Simcha. You don't realize it. You don't appreciate how much dancing is an expression of joy. I'm telling you, you don't. Because you know you do it all the time. I'll tell you my own personal experience. When I was in Arbelis, my mother passed away. So for a whole year, I didn't dance. Nothing. I danced twice. Twice. In the whole year. Once. Chanukah. It's Chanukah, we have a custom in our house to just go around and dance. It was a cha-cha. Go around in a circle. A minute of Chanukah, go around in a circle when you light the Chanukah menorah. And once, Pesach. We have a minute in our house, you have to say that because dance in Shana Rabbi Mishalai. That was not really dances, it just went around in a circle. Didn't dance Purim, didn't dance in Kostara, didn't dance in Chasnas, didn't garnish, nothing. Zero. I still remember when the Avelis period was over, when the year was up. So one of my cousins got married. It was the first wedding I went to after the year was up. And I remember, all of a sudden I'm at a wedding and they started to dance. I still remember I was so overwhelmed by this, I couldn't do it at first. It was like a really overwhelming experience, You're letting yourself go again. Because dancing is a very, I'll tell you, you don't realize it. You do it all the time. Dancing is a very expressive act. It really means something. It's really an expression of joy. That's why it's also in Sphira, it's also in Avelis, it's also in 3 weeks. I agree. Listening to music, well, it's not found in the only apostle. It doesn't mean anything with the music. Especially if it's taped. You want to know if they just pop a paper into the car, garnished? I don't think it's a strict prohibition. Unless if you have a custom to agree with, of course you have to follow your own custom. I'm not coming to tell you. I once had a babysitter. So she asked me, should I go to the movies during Sphira? I told her, Rabban Soloveitchik told me, any movie you can see in Sphira, or you long see in Sphira. Well, 2 weeks later, I got an irate phone call in Queens. She went to someone's house in Queens, and she wrote what I told her, so she was about to go to the movies. So this father of this, her crowd, was a European Jew, starts yelling at me, cry. He think I told you to pig. So I said, that job? I agree. If you have a custom to the country, you have to follow the custom. If you have a custom, no movies in Sphira, no music in Sphira. So you have to observe that custom. Whatever the custom you have to observe. Yes?
About the wedding, how does that work? Is it, because I heard once that you take on their mitzvah when you're their guest, if they're keeping, if they're
Says the Shulchan Aruch that if someone gets married during the Sphira, you don't impose what we call a penalty on him, you really shouldn't be doing it. So the Moshe writes, if half people won't show up, it's the biggest penalty in the world. So therefore, it's permissible. It's convenient. I get my whole list of invitations. Well, this many years, convenient for me to go with the first one. And now, convenient to say, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. The Moshe said it, but I just have such trouble believing it. My main case is stick to 1 minute. Maybe the Hasidim is the first one. Yekis, the second minute. Non-Hasidic Jews, men will keep the second minute. Sparanim and Hasidim keep the first minute. Am I right? That's basically how it works. There was once a rabbi in Riverdale and came up and gave a bang on the table. Only purpose of this thing. to get lost and stolen, and to cause worries for the kala and for the wife for the rest of her life. I don't see what the purpose is. It backups the chosn. And for what purpose? You want to buy your wife something very nice. So this fellow bought his wife a little locket. I'm not sure what that means. I bought my wife a very nice watch. It has some diamond in it. She did stay with diamonds, yeah. But it wasn't so expensive. She wears it when she wants to wear it. The diamond ring is terrible. People get stolen. They attacked the diamond ring, so they start wearing it the other way around. So what's the purpose? Put it in your pocket. Put it in the safe. So what do you need it for? That's to the side. You got me started. So it just happened today. None of them, I never heard me come out of the guy. I used to call my guests all the time, but I stopped. I saw it was a Kvachla Matal. Today I got a little excitement. Kvachla didn't buy a ring for his kala. I was very excited there. Yeah.
Now, is there a mitzvah to keep, all the spirit?
Yeah, the Lubavitch. The Lubavitch keeps all the spirit.
Okay, so that,
because
that's where
I'm going to come out
with.
Right, all four,
except for Lag Bo.
Except for Lag Bo. Or maybe Rosh Chodesh something. Yeah.
You met your roommate,
you
keep one there and you keep the
other. Like, what's wrong? The music. Music is a big problem. If music is prohibited, I don't know what to do. I don't have to switch roommates. But if you listen to me, that music is good, there's no problem. I'll think that's getting used to the music, strictly speaking. Again, if you have a meeting, that's to do it, so.
So you don't put it on that.
You use a Walkman. That's how Walkman is created. Why Walkman is created? It's a sphere. Obviously. Okay? Any questions? Alright, Shavuos. Shavuos is the shortest of all the holidays. You know, the shortest in the duration and the shortest in halacha. There's really nothing to talk about. Litzis is not found in Shavuot. I mean, it's found, but it's not that milk. The custom to have elephants and shoes. Different custom when you have it exactly. In my house, we have elephants the second night. The second night, I'll be Rabbona. And by the time it gets around to the second night, we already had so much pleasure to already actually have elephants. And that's how we do it in our house. Okay, that's finished the Shavuos. That's it? What else? Tell me what else is there? What's the answer? You spoke about that by the
way.
Stay up all night, correct. Stay up all night. Women stay up all night too. It's a later style. All right. I don't know. When I grew up, the women didn't stay up all night. Want to stay up late to learn. It's a wonderful idea. All night, this takes care of Jews. Yes.
Now, if you have nachas, you are obligated to make kiddush and wash and eat the nachas first and then finish and then wash.
That's the Minhag HaRabbah. They milk and they switch the fleshes with a different challah, shkelah. In my house, we don't do that. We just have all the milk and it's only.
Are you supposed to have dogim?
Dogim? I've heard of that one.
No, because you either have bus or dogim or both. So if you do you need dogim or you can just have nothing?
Oh yeah, you have to have dogim. People who eat milk, what else do they eat besides dogim? What else do they eat? So I guess they have dogim, but I don't have that obligation. After Shavuos, we go to the next, basically final topic, which is 3 weeks. There's an obligation to fast. We already discussed it a little bit on Asarav, on Lu. No. Tiny says that we discussed a little bit. We never discussed others at all. There are 4 basic fasts. If you really, you may have mentioned Tzav Gedalia a little bit when we learned about Rosh Hashanah. The 4 fasts are Shabbos and Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, Tzav Gedalia, and Asar B'Tavis. In that order, starting from Pesach. Nobody starts from Pesach. The difference between Tisha B'Av and the rest. First of all, the purpose of all fasts is to do tshuva. Mishnah Berurah Kriyas is those who fast, they don't do tshuva, and you're doing the secondary and ignoring the primary. There are various historical events which caused us to fast all these times. You can look it up in the Mishnah, the Gemara. Shavuot and Tammuz had five bad things, Shavuot had five bad things, and some of the Gedaliah was killed. They were compared to Rabin to Gedaliah, And Masar Mateves is when they besieged Yerushalayim. Which of the worst events, they were destroyed twice, plus the Zera of the Meraglim was that they bait that was destroyed. And they plowed the area of the Beis Hamikdash. That's the worst of all. I already mentioned to you when we discussed Yom HaShoah passing, that we believe that Tisha B'Av is a Yom HaVeilus Klolis. It's a veilus for all the tragedies that befell the Jewish people in our history. Tisha B'Av is a very serious fast. It's a mandatory fast. Even today. The other fast days are theoretically optional. That means some Gedaliah, Sar Batavis, and Shavuot and Tammuz. Why are they optional? Because there was an expression about them that Tammuz Esther is either the most strict or the least strict. Yusuf was the least strict. Right? But it may not be optional though. Because it's not related to mourning. It commemorates. Well, I don't know, we see not found anywhere in the Gemara explicitly. It's less true. And these are, technically speaking, comprised three different kinds of periods in Jewish history. The Gemara says these fast days are going to become holidays. Then it's plus the Zakaria, some are Rabi, some are Chavishi, some are Shvi, some are Siri, those are the months of the year starting from Pesach from Nisan. Yeah, the sasa, the simple, and the total of the combination of the shul. What is it now? Is it a fast or is it a holiday in between? The Gemara's, there are three historical epochs. When is Yesh Shalom, Bein Malchus, when there's peace and no persecution, they'll become holidays. When is Yesh Shalom, the Yesh Malchus, no peace, there is persecution, they're mandatory fast days. When it's in between, that means ain't shalom vein malchus. I think it says the best of times or the worst of times. Then it's ratzu misanin, ratzu ena misanin. Then it's optional. You can fast or not fast. The minig is everyone fasts, okay, but it's technically speaking optional. But in some communities, why no one fasts these days? It's the gosh. Even though it's wrong, but you know, even Klal Yisrael has a nose. You know, they can figure out this, find a little hole over here. Strictly speaking, it's optional, but you really shouldn't care, of course, because it's certainly healthy. According to many authorities, the reason why we can be lenient on the other fasts, and A, begin the fast only in the morning at dawn, B, we don't extend the, accept the other prohibitions, such as showering and wearing leather shoes and things of this nature. The reason for these leniencies is because it's optional. So when we accept it, we only accept it under certain conditions. Whereas Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, which of course are mandatory, so then it's a 24-hour fast plus, and there are all the restrictions. And it seems that not everyone agrees to that, since the other three are less strict, even if it weren't optional. Otherwise, the big problem is that during World War II. World War II was the worst persecution in history. Or maybe the worst in history. So I asked people who were alive then, did you fast 24 hours on Shavuot and Tammuz and Tzav Gedaliah and Tzav Davis? Did you refrain from showering and you wear the sneakers? They said, no. I couldn't understand. How can I be used? It's an ultimate, the worst time of Yesh Malchus. So apparently they have a different view, which they see, and others explain it. No, you're more lenient even intrinsically. Not just because it's optional. Even if it would be theoretically mandatory, it still would be limited. Both the time, 12 or wore out, not 24. And in terms of qualitative, that it does not include the other prohibitions of the okay? If the fast falls on Shabbos, you fast on Sunday. Let's get down to the 3 weeks. Our custom, Ashkenazim, I'm speaking now. Don't get married during the 3 weeks. Don't shave during the 3 weeks. Here we go again. He says music is forbidden. Let's find out the source for this one. Forbidden, 13. Again, he quotes more modern sources. The old sources say that dancing is forbidden. Married the day before Shavuos and Matan. It's very popular. Often comes out in June. They get married up to the last day. And the Shavuot Brachos is extended to 3 weeks. So you write, so you're allowed to have Shavuot Brachos. You're allowed to dance. You're allowed to sing. Go out to use the musical instruments. But he writes. I don't think it's correct. I think it's mutter.
Well, how's the mutter?
How? Just do it, because since it's they got married at the right time, so the celebration of Shemar Brothers is more overrides the 3 weeks prohibition, same as does Sira. The custom not to say Shechayanu in the 3 weeks. Custom. So you shouldn't buy it.
You're not going to wear it.
You're
buying that
one. Well, there's a whole discussion. Some things you make a shefiyon when you buy it. Some things you make a shefiyon when you wear it. I tell you, I don't make a shefiyon at all on clothing. But I don't think it's very exciting. I mean, maybe you do it more exciting when you buy a new dress. When I buy a suit, it's just the only excitement that I don't feel shopping. That's it. I'm sorry? Uh-huh. So I can buy the clothes in 3 weeks, no problem. It's not a simple for me. It's no problem.
I don't have any extra stuff.
If it's something which makes you so excited, you want to make a shot together, you shouldn't buy it. That's not for you to judge. Get to the 9 days. 9 is our custom not to eat meat, chicken, not to drink wine or grape juice. And last is a Suras Mitzvah. So the custom of Gris, Pinyin Aben, it's a custom they're going to call a seal, one of the Yiddish shtick, to avoid the prohibition of meat in the 9 days, they make a seal, and they invite all their friends. So, the camp, they do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What's
that? Ask them.
Oh, yeah.
There was a restaurant in Chicago this year there was a fish restaurant that had a sign in the window that every night they would see
it. It's only a certain time of the night.
Yeah,
see them at 6 o'clock, get one at 11,
right.
Or
no, 6 o'clock. No, but they see them at 6:30. Is that so
parks, like...
Yeah, those four. The people don't know each other. At least the camp people know each other. Oh, you know, they rejoice in each other's sentiment. It's only a minute, so you can't be too, you know, have to be lenient when it's appropriate. Even the wine for Abdullah, once the Shabbos is the problem, you can give it to a child.
There's no child.
No child, you can drink it yourself. Give it to your male child.
Mm. What do you mean give it to a child? You make the bracha and you don't drink it?
You make a bracha right then and then drink it. I think last year we gave the wine to my daughter. It's a funny custom that women don't drink from Abdullah. They think they're ready to grow a beard. I don't know, great things. But, Now, here's the big issue. Can a person wash himself, his body, her body, during the 9 days? So he writes over here, nope. A person may not shower or bathe in the 9 days. That's quoted from the Pesukim. There are more things to say so. However, there's a very major issue today. Today, especially in the hot climate of the 9 days, there are people who qualify with this condition called istinus, but they're very delicate. So for example, if a person is in camp, you involve yourself in strenuous physical activity, you're sweating like you're sweating. So then the post says you're supposed to take a shower, because you're dirty and sweaty. Some say the person even cutting a nail should wait till Friday, even showering on Friday is a self-initial, he says. Even if someone showers every week, it's a question whether it's allowed or not allowed. I'm going to get to be more lenient. Shower for Shabbos, and we shower upon physical exertion. But it's not for those two considerations. You should try to avoid a shower if you can possibly manage. In other words, say you're in the city, and you go from your air-conditioned house to your air-conditioned car to your air-conditioned office. You never set foot outside on the streets. I don't care how it is. Who cares? You're always cold. So you really shouldn't shower. Erev Shabbos, you can still be leaning with this. You do it every single week. Okay, second thing. No laundry in the 9 days. No laundry. Two things. You shouldn't wash the clothes. Give it out for washing. Even if you're going to wear it after the 9 days are over. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, if you have freshly washed clothes, then you may not wear them fresh during the 9 days. This does not apply, he says, to unstarched shirts, socks, stockings, and underwear. Very important leniency here, which is other Pesukim don't agree, but I do agree. Unstarched shirts. Moshe says a shirt like I'm wearing, this shirt is not starched, forgive me. So Rav Moshe said, a shirt like this, no problem. Why? It's nice in the back. Because it gets filthy. It's like, almost like an undergarment. Where does it get filthy? And under the arms and the collars, it gets filthy. So therefore, it's permitted to wear it freshly laundered. So you should wash all your clothes before Rosh Chodesh Av. And then you can just put them on like this. Yeah?
What if
I
freshly washed
them? How freshly washed? What if, so what are they? Either pressed, you know, starched shirts, or dry cleaned suits, skirts, dresses.
Something that was dry cleaned Kodesh Thomas, but I don't know why, is that still fresh?
Yeah, absolutely fresh. Well, it's water, it's still called fresh. So you should wear it before. It's not to wear for a minute, you know, you should wear it. You have to be worn several times. Several times. I don't know. Should crochet, needlepoint, embroider, or hook a rug. Unless you're gonna go bazooie, so we're not border. And you know we're going nuts from border, so okay. You're gonna go crazy. Shouldn't paint the wallpaper of the house in the 9 days. That linoleum or carpet or tiles in the 9 days. You had a plastered ass. That's not a big symptom of plastic. Said there much of a Kiddush Nipple of the Kula. If you rent an apartment, or you bought a house, there much that you're allowed to fix paint and everything, as long as you're not going to move in until after Tisha B'Av. That's a big Kiddush. If you're not there yet, there's no restrictions. You shouldn't buy furniture or expensive utensils. It's simple. Yes?
So can you move into it?
You don't move in in the 9 days. Court case, you make sure to delay it till after Tisha B'Av. Bad luck time. Okay. Yes?
Is there any
halacha
that says
swimming is a shaila, you really shouldn't do it, but in camp, they make it a little bit. Children, especially on the bar mitzvah, need to know bar mitzvah they have to. Okay, this takes together 9 days. Right, so we did it 3 weeks, we did it 9 days. Now we're up to Tisha B'Av itself. What? Well, for us, Ashkenazim, it's all the same thing. Whatever stricture we have in the, well, I should say it's all the same, but whatever strict thing that we have in the week of Tisha B'Av, we have extended by custom to 9 days. All right? So this is something. All the answers. See, I have to understand one thing. The 9 days is customary. The week of Tisha B'Av is absolutely mandatory. So for example, shaving. When a man shaved, they shouldn't shave for 3 weeks. That's a custom. Shouldn't shave for 9 days. A custom. Shouldn't shave the week of Tisha B'Av. That's halacha. So if it's, he has to go to work, but it can't be, you know, messy. He's supposed to be clean shaven. He can shave in 3 weeks. He can shave in 9 days. But he cannot shave Shavuot Shechal or Tisha B'Av. Can't. It's a big dispute. Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, and if you stay until Sunday, is the whole proceeding with Shavuot Shechal or not?
No.
Follow me? Because it has technically Shavuot on Shabbos. So we can be lenient about that also. So if Tisha B'Av is on Sunday, there's no Shavuot Shechal. If it's on Shabbos, there's no Shavuot Shechal. If it's on Tuesday, so for most people don't go to work Tisha B'Av, they can avoid it. So they go until they have one day, they have to look like a a mess. It's Monday. The worst case of a Tisha B'Av that on Thursday, then you're in trouble. Tell your boss you have morning for your temple and that's all. Yeah?
Do
Erev Tisha B'Av is then called a Suda Hafsekes. Last meal, just before sunset, feet on the floor, you have only bread and eggs, some different ashes. Our customers have a big meal before that. You have to go, oh, if you're too hungry, a big meal, full meal, whatever you want to eat. Then you bench. Then you go, make some kind of a hefsek, you put on, maybe you can take off your shoes and put on your sneakers, maybe you do this, do that, you run around. And then you have this little nothing meal, which should be eaten in one or two, no mezuzah. No mezuzah. Once the sun sets, then all the restrictions start for real. Eating, drinking, washing your body, marital relations. You don't have a ritual immersion in the mikvah. A man may not touch his wife during the night of the ninth above, so it's over here. Well, then I'm wrong. Others disagree, but okay. Even our chukkas, we'll learn about it in the first class next term. Quite a need of, even that's a question. Rinsing your mouth is not permitted. Other fast days, there's more grounds to be lenient. But Tisha B'Av, we're more strict. A pregnant woman, a nursing mother, should fast on Tisha B'Av. As opposed to other fasts, a woman who gave birth to a child within the last 2 years, if she stopped nursing, need not fast. Pregnant woman need not fast. Only Tisha B'Av. And Yom Kippur, of course.
Pregnant woman.
Sorry?
What did you say?
I told you an amazing line, which she doesn't have. Woman who's pregnant, or who's nursing, or any woman who gave birth to a child in the last 2 years, so she's potentially considered a menekes, need not fast on the, quote, minor fasts. Only have to fast Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. I'm about to pass it this way. I think it's a correct psak. My wife did fast these fasts for many years in a row. It's an incentive to have children every 2 3/4 years. Follow me? 2 3/4 years don't collapse. You're much older than the other, so you go from, as long as you become pregnant, less than 2 years, when your child is less than 2 years old, so you can go from one to the next to the next and have a kid almost like every 3 years. You never have to fast. It's great. There's got to be some perks. That's not enough. Some perks. You don't have to fast as much cold wine fast. You're not allowed to wash at all. Nothing. In the morning you wash till the knuckles. You go to the bathroom again till the knuckles. And that's it. This safer, I can't believe it. He allows deodorant on Tisha B'Av. I think that's wrong. Why I don't believe about it is he in his safe on Avelis does not allow a deodorant for the whole week of Shiva. Man. So I think he's wrong twice. I think he's wrong. I think it's allowed in the week of Shiva. I think it's not allowed on Tisha B'Av. I think we're much better off following me than following him. She was only one day. Leather shoes are not allowed. People with leather strips. Heels. I don't believe it. Shoes with only decorative leather strips may be worn. What? I don't believe it. The custom to sleep without a pillow. If you can manage it. The custom during the kinas to sit on the ground or on a low bench. My opinion is limited to the time of the kinas proper. He quotes it as being prohibited until noon. I don't think it's true. Of course, the kino should go until noon, so that's not really relevant to the night. Right. Not permitted to learn Torah on Tisha B'Av except for the sad parts. Eo, Yirmiyo, Lord of Avelos, story of Kapta Bar Kapta, Eicha. You shouldn't go to work until noon. Better to stay close the whole day. You gotta go to work if you lose your job otherwise. Don't rob it. Discuss this before, don't call them away. You have no choice to go to work, so you go in the morning too. Get up. Shouldn't say hello to people, or shalom, or other form of greetings. Some make, you know, blue. Right, so you shouldn't say goodnight. If you can't say goodnight, you're allowed to say mazel tov. I guess mazel is not a greeting. Yes? No, I have a question. Kinos is important. In some shul, they run through it like a mile a minute. Is that right? Go slowly, you should explain what it's about. All right. What if this should have fallen on a Sunday? So, there's no suda mafsekes. You're allowed to eat as much as you want. We have to stop before sunset.
What do you do about the
patience? So take off your shoes after Baruchu. Kick them off. You can't bring shoes on Shabbat to shul on Shabbos. If you want to wear, you know, your Tisha B'Av shoes, your sneakers. Bring the shul before Shabbos. Well, wait till Shabbos is over and then they call a mafkel and put on your sneakers and go to shul sneakers. Abdullah's respond on Sunday night. Lori and Mora Asia said Saturday night, the rest said Sunday night. Should eat the drink before you put out dollars on the night. What about the law of Shabbos itself? Here's an interesting idea. Some poskim say that you shouldn't learn Torah on Erev Tisha B'Av during the week. Or even for the Shabbos, except for the sad part of the Torah. It's the meaning of the Ramah. But we are a little bit more lenient. We allow learning until the Tisha B'Av proper, anything you want. Even during the week, certainly on Shabbos. It's an interesting dispute whether marital relations are permitted or not on Tisha B'Av which falls out on Shabbos. Some say yes, some say no. It's a very sad day, even though you don't fast on that day. If Tisha B'Av is delayed till Sunday, it's a big dispute if a woman who is pregnant or nursing, must she fast or not? Some say she must fast, some say she need not fast. My tradition is that she should fast, unless she just can't handle it. You need also delayed fast. Okay. When Tisha B'Av is over, there's still a sort of a residual avelos for that next night. You can eat meat, wine, grape juice until noon on the 10th of Av. It's actually the base. The mikdash burned straight through the night until the 10th. Same thing with washing clothes, showers or baths. Again, if you're not interested in this, shaving and hair cutting all not till midday of the 10th of Av. He goes with music. Here he goes again. Music should not be heard until the midday, 10th of Av. Tisha B'Av fell out on Shabbos, so the fast is commemorated on the 10th of Av. So you should not eat meat or drink wine Sunday night, but all the other restrictions are lifted immediately after the fast. That means you can do laundry that night, you can play music that night. It's already the night after the 10th. Tavkuf Sabbath, which is a postscript to these halachas, is to make a zecha l'churban. You're building a house, you're supposed to leave a certain place in the wall, right when you walk in, Amma al Amma. Amma is about 21 inches square, which is not to be properly plastered or painted. According to some authorities, this is the source. But the various customs of limiting how a husband and kala dress at their wedding. The husband puts ashes on his head by the wedding because it is. They break a glass. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to have any musical instruments, period. No music. Ever. Except at a wedding. Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah says no. Our custom is that we do allow instruments, except we should not allow instruments in conjunction with drinking, based on Mishnah. No, so that's mitzvah. Sure, okay. So you want to go, that's a big problem. You got to go to a restaurant. They play music and they're serving drinks, it's a big problem. Some say it's only because of drinking only, it's eating. Not so bad. Not everyone's music then. I would say it's only because of live music, right? My guess. I don't know. My guess. Can't really just listen to this meeting. Most music. That's a gemara, which I have interpreting one for one kid. That's all the gemara means. It's only talking about a case of drinking wine, maybe not. That's why a chassid should go with a crown. A kala should not go with a silver crown. It's very important that people don't realize that. It's also a kala with a silver crown. It's not allowed. It's finish of gemara. We wear a cloth headpiece, not silver. And we go on and says over here, the person sees Yerushalayim the Korbanah, he has to rip. He's a basic image of the Korbanah, he has to rip. And here's something, unfortunately, I'm not sure what it is anymore. Someone who sees Ari Yehuda the Korbanah has to rip. How do you define the Korbanah? So the Mishnah Berurah quote. It depends who is in charge of the government. I'm not kidding. The contemporary Shiva, unfortunately. So if the city is populated by Jews, but is governed by Arabs, it's called the Churbana. If it's populated by Arabs and it's governed by Jews, it's called the Binyana. So now I have a question. If I go to... Great, I'm embarrassed to say it. I go to Beis Lechem next week. This week I'm still okay, I think, no?
Yeah.
This week I'm still okay in Beis Lechem?
Yeah.
I go to Beis Lechem next week. What's it did? Who is in control of Beis Lechem? Do I have to rip Korea? I'm seeing Ari Yehuda, the Korbanah. under Goyish control? No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a purely function of who's in control. Who's Moshe Aleyah? Or should we argue that since Israel is in charge of security officially, the entire West Bank, so maybe it's not going to be a problem. That's the shayla. So the ma'isa for me, I plan to go to Israel next month on Shabbos. I'll probably be driving through the past through Beis Lechem. You have to have cream. That's the shayla. Great. First, go to Yerushalayim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if you're ready to rip on Yerushalayim, you need not rip on the other cities of Yehuda. And as you see that, if you rip on the base of Midrash, you don't rip on Yerushalayim. If you start at the highest level, so you don't have to rip
on the lower level.
I think for 30 days at least, I would guess.
So when you drive into Yerushalayim, you
should have to get? No, we only see the destroyed Yerushalayim, that's the old city. But the meaning we have is we only rip on the color by the, you see the harabayas of the body. Probably you see the mask, by rip kriya. In my initial, we have a kriya shirt. Keep ripping it another time. You don't think kill a shirt each time. Rip again, rip again, rip again. You can see that's 20 rips. Now I think it's falling to shreds. Now we have a new one. You keep ripping it. You see these things every 30 days, you don't need to rip. Shalayim, and many people go every Rosh Chodesh. Yerushalayim is every Rosh Chodesh to go to the Kosel. They shouldn't have a problem of ripping free. I want to end with something good, at least something controversial, so you'll remember. Just we're talking here about the bad parts. We mentioned a little bit when we learned about Hilchos Purim that the Mishnah Berurah quotes Hayadam that there can be a private Purim, a Purim for a particular person or family. If he or his family was saved from a threat of destruction. A threat of destruction? The Chayyadim writes that it was Purim, and he had his own Purim. Fire, and he was saved. So he made a Purim for himself and his descendants. So the Rambam was saved from the storm at sea. So many folks can maintain. The same thing is true when the Jews were saved in Eretz Yisrael. They were saved in the war in 48 and the war in 67. That's why there are some who observe new holidays called Yom HaTzmaut and Yom Yerushalayim. They say these are days of Simcha. Some even say Hallel. When it comes to Hallel, I think you should say a lot of Bracha, because some say something Machlokes, can you make your own Hallel, even though maybe grounds for it, but give us that Bracha. Baptist by which we learned should be one day made into Moavim, to holidays. It'll be that Gula. We started there with Pesach, which is the greatest miracle so far. The Chazal say, the Sukkot say, that when Hashem will bring us the ultimate Gula, it'll make Pesach look like a smaller comparison. So we'll always follow for that day that Gula will come. We have to do this call one more thing. That until that day comes, we shouldn't have it to have tzaras which are too bad. We're really, people alone, not only are relatives living in Eretz Yisrael, living maybe in Shtachim, what they call Aidu, it's really a frightening situation. So the tefillah of every person in this class, and every Jew in this throughout the world, is certainly something which is very much in order at the present time. All the politics in Eretz Yisrael, Malkus, and the Sfinim, and the threats. Difficult situation. And Kodesh Baruch will give us a bracha for us, as well as probably Israel only.